for bearing with me for reading two readings this morning, but there was a reason for doing so, and I hope you have seen the connection. If not, I pray that the Lord would open all of our eyes to understand more fully the work that Christ has done for his people. But I want to begin by asking a question, and the question is this. I wonder if you have ever thought of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Passover lamb. Or if you have, I wonder when was the last time you thought of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Passover lamb. Perhaps this morning, and there's no need to be embarrassed about it, you've never thought of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Passover lamb. But perhaps this morning it's been a while since you've thought about the Lord Jesus Christ being the Passover lamb. And as we approach Easter, whatever you think of that, it would be a good occasion to think again about the Lord Jesus Christ being our Passover lamb. And as we approach the Lord's Supper every other week, it is good to think of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Passover lamb. The Lord's Supper has its roots in the Passover. And so when we turn to that, we'll say a few things about it. But this morning, I want to meditate on this wonderful truth. I'll say it again. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. The Bible is full of this wonderful truth. And it says it explicitly in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, where Paul says, Christ is our Passover lamb. Christ is our Passover lamb. Now, what do we mean by a Passover lamb? I'm sure some of you will know what that means, if not many. But where does that title, Passover lamb, come from? Well, the reason why I read Exodus chapter 12 is because that is the origin of this term, the Passover lamb. And as we read just a few moments ago, we saw how God commanded his people to get a lamb ready, and this lamb would be called the Passover lamb. If you want to turn to Exodus chapter 12 again, you'll see in verse 3 that God says, speak to the congregation of Israel, saying that on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. Now, I'm sure you've noticed this lamb was not just any old lamb. You'll have noticed that this Passover lamb, look at verse 5, shall be without blemish. You could translate that perfect or sound. In other words, the people had to get for themselves the best lamb, perhaps the best lamb from their flock. Now, what were they to do with this lamb all those years ago? What were they to do with this lamb, their best lamb, the lamb without blemish? Well, God commanded them to take their best lamb and to kill it. To kill it. They were to slaughter this lamb without blemish. And then with the blood that came from that, we read in verse 7 that God commanded the people to take some of that blood and to sprinkle it on the doorposts of their house and on the lintel of their house. And in doing so, God was commanding them to shelter under the blood of the lamb. Think about that. The house that they were in would have had the blood around them and above them. This blood of the lamb was sheltering them. What was it sheltering them from? Well, the Bible tells us that this blood of the lamb back then was sheltering them from the wrath of God. The judgment of God was coming, and God was saying, in order for you to avoid this judgment of God, in order for the wrath of God to be diverted from you and your house, then you're to take up this blood, this lamb, to kill it, to slaughter it, and to shelter yourself under the blood of the lamb. I'm taking nothing for granted this morning that you don't know what happens in the earlier part of Exodus. There's a reason why this Exodus 12 was written. Leading up to this point in Exodus, the people of God, some of you will know this, were in great difficulty. They were in bondage to Pharaoh. And we read in the early parts of Exodus that they cried out to God. And God, in his covenant faithfulness to them, heard their cry and had begun to initiate a series of judgments on the people of Egypt. And Exodus chapter 12 is the 10th of 10 plagues that is due to fall upon the people then. And each judgment becoming more severe and more consequential, this 10th final plague, this 10th final judgment would bring death. But only death to those who were not under the blood of the lamb that God had commanded them to shed and to kill. The last judgment back then was imminent. But those under the blood of the lamb would be safe. Those under the blood of the lamb would not have the wrath of God fall upon them. If they took that lamb, if they did as God said, killed that lamb, spread it on the doorpost and the lintel, and sheltered under that lamb, they were guaranteed to be safe. The Lord's judgment would not fall upon them. It would pass over them. And this is why it's called the Passover Lamb, because God's judgment would pass over them. So we read, for instance, in verse 13, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you." Verse 23, "For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you." Can you see the absolute importance of having that lamb and being sheltered under the blood of the lamb even back then? It was a life and death matter. If you didn't have the lamb, the wrath of God would fall upon you. If you were sheltered under the blood of the lamb, then that wrath would be diverted. It would pass over you. And I want to say there was more here. It was not simply that the wrath of God would not fall upon his people if they were sheltered under the lamb. The Passover lamb would also be a gateway to their release from slavery. Because the lamb did not only ensure their safety from the judgment of God, it also paved the way for their release from the bondage that they were experiencing under Pharaoh. Think about that for a moment. Did you notice that they were to eat this lamb in haste? They were to eat this lamb ready to depart. Look at verse 11. They were to be dressed as if they're ready to go, with a staff in their hand and a belt around their waist and ready to travel. And this was because part of their salvation would be that they would be delivered out of the land of Egypt. It wasn't simply that the wrath of God would be diverted and they would remain in the land. That would be significant in itself. No, they would avoid the wrath of God and also be taken out of that land. And this is the full redemption that they experienced back then. And I want to say, with this incredibly important backdrop, that we now read significant things in Luke chapter 22. Because that original Passover in Exodus chapter 12, I'm sure you've seen the connection, paves the way for the Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we're meant to understand from the Gospels. We are told in Luke chapter 22 that the Lord Jesus Christ was preparing to die at the time of the Passover. That's not a coincidence. That's not something that just happened. It just happened to be that he was preparing to die at the time of Passover. We read in verse 1, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover." And we read that the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him. Ironically, if you look at Exodus chapter 12, it says that the congregation, the people, have to prepare to present the Lamb of God. But that's for another day. That these chief priests and scribes are actually fulfilling what was required of the Passover. But we are told in verse 7, again, that the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, the Lord Jesus Christ is there preparing to die. He knows that he's about to suffer. And that's no coincidence. We are clearly meant to understand from the Gospels that the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing to offer a Passover lamb. But I want to say significantly, he was not offering a Passover lamb. As a righteous man, he could have easily fulfilled this law by getting a Passover lamb like the other people at that time and getting a blameless one, a firstborn one, and offering that. But no, there are similarities with this Old Testament Passover lamb, but there are significant differences. One of the significant differences is that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't go and fetch a Passover lamb. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. He offers himself. He offers himself as the Passover lamb, as the ultimate Passover lamb. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself as a Passover lamb, as the Passover lamb, as the ultimate Passover lamb, he was accomplishing something far more significant than even those times back there in Exodus chapter 12. That was significant. We mustn't downplay that. That God redeemed the people out of bondage to slavery, possibly a million people or so, brought out by God's mighty power. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Passover lamb, was doing something even more significant than that. He was offering himself as the Passover lamb to secure an ultimate salvation for his people. A salvation from sin. A salvation from eternal judgment. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ was securing for his people when he offered himself as the Lamb of God. An exodus. An ultimate exodus. You know, the people of God were brought out mightily out of that land. It's called the Exodus. But the Lord Jesus Christ was the gateway to a greater exodus. He was leading his people out of sin and bondage to sin and slavery to sin and under the influence of the devil. And he was translating them into the kingdom of his Son, of the Son of the Lord. But I wanted to say something, that in order to do this, it was costly. It was costly for the Lord Jesus Christ to rescue his people, just as it was back then. In the original Passover, a lamb had to die. You know, we can read that perhaps time after time and get used to it. But imagine taking your lamb, your best lamb, and offering it as a sacrifice. It had to die. It had to die. And without the death of that lamb, that precious lamb, there was no redemption. There was no blood. There was no sheltering under the blood of that lamb. And so the lamb had to die. And so it is with the ultimate redemption of souls. The psalmist once wrote, I think it's Psalm 49, the redemption of souls is costly. And it was very costly. In order to purchase redemption, it cost the death of the God-man. It cost the death of that life. He spilled his own blood. He gave his own life. Not on the wood of the lintel of the door, post and the lintel above it, but on the cross of wood. A death reserved for criminals. Because think about that life that was sacrificed. Like the lamb, which was blameless in terms of looks, the Lord Jesus Christ was blameless in his character. Why did he die a criminal's death if he was blameless? It was a scandal, wasn't it? At the first Passover, we can imagine it would have been uncomfortable on a number of levels, slaughtering one of those lambs that you owned. There was the actual killing of that meek lamb. I had no idea that it was going to be sacrificed. I remember leading it up to be sacrificed. They wouldn't have known. Perhaps it was the most precious of your flock. And then there was the fact that it was worthy. It was worth something. It was the best of your flock. And yet you had to sacrifice it in order to escape. But how these things pale into significance when we consider the life, the Lamb of God that was given for us. Think about the worth of that lamb that gave his life. The King of Glory crucified. Think about how they led that precious Lamb of God, the one who was holy, harmless, undefiled, to the cross, to a criminal's death, to pay not for his own sins or his own redemption, but for the redemption of his people, sinners like you and me. But I want you to understand this morning that just as the death of this lamb was far more significant than the death of the Old Testament lamb, so the effects of the death of the Lamb of God are far more significant than the death of the old Passover lamb. Whereas the death of the original Passover lamb secured temporary diversion of the judgment of God, the Lord Jesus Christ's death secures eternal diversion of the wrath of God. Whereas the Passover lamb secured a temporary exodus out of Egypt, the Lord Jesus Christ secures an eternal exodus out of our worst problems. And all this is because the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, satisfied the inherent justice of God. Just as the original Passover lamb was enough to divert the wrath of God temporarily, so the Lord Jesus Christ satisfies the wrath of God. He is called in the Bible a propitiation. A propitiation. A satisfaction. In other words, the wrath of God falls upon him. He satisfies the wrath of God. God's wrath is satisfied. It is assuaged. The wrath of God that should fall upon us fell upon him, and he has expired it. But if you're a Christian here this morning, you are sheltering under the blood, not of the Passover lamb, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John says this, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins." This means that if you are in Christ, if you are sheltering under the blood of the Lamb, you are accepted in the Beloved. That in him we have redemption through the forgiveness of sins. And so the Lamb of God saves his people from the judgment of God. And he saves them from the final judgment of God. There will be a day when God judges the world. The tenth plague is a picture of that, but it pales in insignificance to that great day when every single one of us will be judged. And without being sheltered under the blood of the Lamb of God, those people outside of that will experience the full wrath of God. The Bible says that they will be taken away and placed in hell for everlasting punishment. But for those who are sheltering under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have received him and are resting upon him in faith, God's wrath will not fall upon them, just as it didn't on the houses back then. No, they will be sheltered under the blood of the Lamb. His blood is powerful. You might think you're too sinful, but no. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to shelter. He has put forward a sufficient sacrifice for you and for me. Able to cleanse every sin. Able to provide satisfaction for every sin. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So I have to ask you a question as we close. Are you sheltered under the blood of the Lamb? I know that's a different way of putting it. Are you in Christ? Is he your Savior? Will the wrath of God fall upon you on that day? Or are you sheltering under the blood of the Lamb? Is Jesus your Savior? Has his blood paid for your sins? Does his blood, as it were, cry out to say that this one is mine, this one is safe? There's only one way of salvation. There was only one way of salvation back then. There's only one way of salvation now, and it is through the blood of the Lamb. I exhort you this morning to be found in him, to be sheltered under the blood of the Lamb, not the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.